It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, and here's another story from inside the Department of the Interior now. The National Park Service wants to raise entry fees at 17 popular national parks. At peak season, it could cost $70 per car and $30 per person to get inside. Journalist Ruth Tam spent her childhood vacations in national parks across the United States. Her father was a Chinese-American immigrant, and he saw the parks as a window into his new country. Ruth Tam argues that the price increase would make parks less accessible to the types of people it should most welcome. She shared her story with the Washington Post and today shares it with us.
When I was 7 years old, my father packed our family of six into our blue minivan and drove 930 miles from our Illinois home to the Black Hills of South Dakota. From there, we traveled to Mount Rushmore and the Badlands, then it was west to Devil's Tower in Wyoming. Every year for the next 11 years, family vacations involved road trips across the United States, hitting national parks, battlefields, historic sites. While my classmates got their hair braided in Cancun, my family hunted for Oregon Trail wagon ruts and traced Lewis and Clark's expedition trail. See, my father, a Chinese-American immigrant, was working toward a goal he set after my siblings and I were born, drive to all 48 contiguous states. The people we learned about on the road didn't look like my family, but my father wanted us to understand the road other Americans traveled before they were considered truly American. He took us to reservations where indigenous people lost land. We paid our respects at plantations and battlefields that saw countless casualties. We visited formerly segregated schools and churches that had been bombed. These national parks and sites did more for us than history classes ever could. They made us feel American. By the time we headed west to learn about Chinese Americans at Promontory Summit and Angel Island, we understood it as part of a larger story of Americans who were abused by this country, but rose in spite of hardship. We reached our 48th state, Washington, right as I was about to leave home for college, meeting our family's unofficial deadline. I recently asked my father why he spent year after year driving across the country with four young kids. His answer was simple. I wanted you to know this country. This is your country. My father was born in poverty in Hong Kong shortly after his family escaped communist China in 1949. He immigrated to the States in 1968 at age 12. I asked him if he ever felt unwelcome during our domestic travels. After a long pause, he told me, I probably should have, because I'm Asian American. But I didn't feel out of place, because I looked at the American flag and thought, it was my flag too. His patriotism planted the idea in his mind, but it was the National Park Service's low fees that made it possible for us to travel on my father's minister's salary. When we first started roaming the country 2 decades ago, most national parks were free or charged $5 or $10 for a family of six to enter in one car. Now the National Park Service wants to raise those prices significantly. The Park Service says the higher fees would protect and preserve the parks for future generations. That's a mission my family definitely supports. But the proposal seems to undercut something else my family holds dear, being inclusive. In recent years, the Park Service has pushed to diversify its visitors. In 2013, they created an entire office to address low numbers of visitors of color. Because while the parks have never been more popular, visitors are 78% white. Why is that? One answer lies in a recent Park Service report where survey respondents said the top reason they didn't visit national parks more was that hotel and food costs were too high. Entrance fee prices were 7th on a list of 13 other reasons. If the Park Service raises the price when costs are already keeping people away, the doorway narrows for families like mine. Families who visited not just for the views or the selfies, but for a greater understanding of our mixed cultural identity. My immigrant father learned English on Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land. He calls the proposed fees prohibitive. He's a lifelong conservative, and he told me we should tax it some other way. Let it be free to all, whether you're rich or poor. Whatever happens with this proposal, at least one park won't be affected. Great Smoky Mountains National Park doesn't charge any fees, and that's because of the conditions of its land sale in the 1930s. It saw more than 11 million visitors last year. That's more than twice as many as the second most popular park, the Grand Canyon. When I think back to my family's days on the road, I'm not surprised. Is it any wonder that the most popular national park is free of charge?
Ruth Tam is a writer and public radio producer at The Great Kojo Nandi Show on WAMU in Washington, D.C. The public comment period for the park's fee hike proposal runs through December 22nd, and there's a lot more information on our website at thetakeaway.org. We're still still hearing from you about the plan at the National Park Service to raise admission prices for some of the country's most popular parks.
This is John from Brattleboro. I would not be able to afford $70 every time I want to go to a national park. It should be free, or at least very affordable, for everybody to attend and participate in the national parks and state parks. People should not have to budget and plan to enjoy nature.
You're telling us how an increase at parks would affect you. 8778-MY-TAKE is our number. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.